I don't think he knows about the Guitar Hero thing.
Oh. I don't think I care.
Ooh, you came with the guitar. I want my Drum Hero.
You little bitch.
Yeah, you know, I'm pissed off that I'm not going to be able to buy that.
Oh.
Not because of the price. I have no room. That fucking sucks.
Yeah. That does suck. Maybe by the time you're ready, they'll have a drum set only.
But what doesn't suck is... The 70th episode of TryGames.net podcast. Yeah,
yay!
That's it. And we're going home.
Yay.
Yay.
End of 70. 2-minute episode.
Yay.
Yes, somehow. Hello and welcome. This is... Shit, what's the day? Okay, Sunday, November 11th.
It's 2027,000.
2007. That's a what?
Huh?
That's a what day?
What? It's a Sunday.
Sunday.
Raceway Park. Why don't you come suck
Raceway?
My nuts?
Raceway Park. Okay, we're at episode 70, and I have two lovely ladies with me. Say hello, Tony.
Yay! Yeah, my girlfriend's licking my nuts as we speak. Today's it's going
to
be all about balls
that?
Today.
It's your dog?
What?
Huh? Al, say hi.
Yo, what's up?
Do not call my
Ethan.
Wife a dog.
Oh, right. Ethan's not here.
Say it again.
I wasn't calling your wife a dog. I was calling your girlfriend a dog, and so your wife can come in and shoot it.
What?
And stop it from licking your balls, because
he's saying that you're bestial.
Oh, that's
you've got bestial wrath.
That's disgusting.
Warcraft term.
Did you say bestial rash?
Wrath.
Oh, wrath. Rash would have been funnier.
Yeah, I know, but I had to throw a Warcraft term in there.
Warcraft. You and your Warcraft. What have you been playing, Al, besides Warcraft?
Guitar Hero 3, when I could.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon, when I can. Zelda for about 15 minutes. that's Phantom Hourglass, for those who are interested. And I played some of the Guitar Hero 3 downloadable content. I finally managed to get the... stuff that was on the companion disc.
Sure.
Because I'm a big dummy. Sure. I don't even remember if I talked about this last week, but I didn't know how to put the code in that you get off the website.
Dumbo.
Right? And then I realized that, because I hit redeem code when I went to the Xbox Live Marketplace, and they said, please enter your 25 code from your prepaid card. And I'm like, I don't have a prepaid card, so I guess it's only for, like, points or something.
Dumbo.
And then I said, wait a minute. Aren't there 25 letters in this code that's on the website? So I went and looked for it, and I put it in, and boom, there go my song.
Dumbo!
So, yeah. I played Carcinogen Crush, which was easy. I played Tina from Flyleaf. Yeah, that was easy. And I played Putting Holes in Happiness, which was... I can't pass like 10% of that song.
Who
what
does that one?
Fuck is...
It's a Marilyn Manson song, but Nick Zinner from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs is like doing guitars over it or something. And it's like, you have to hear the song. And when you hear the song, you're like, man, this is going to be hard to play. And the way it jumps across the fretboard is weird, because it's like green, red, and it jumps over to blue, orange.
These are chords?
No. These are the notes, the single notes. It jumps over to blue, orange, and it's like orange, blue, yellow, green, yellow, blue. It's just like you're jumping all over the thing. And then at the end, it changes to a trill. So it's like... And then that last part, which is actually like a whammy on the guitar or a vibrato, is a trill in Guitar Hero 3. And you got to do that like 8 times in a row.
Oh.
So I usually like... fuck it up like 3 or 4 times in a row, and then I fail.
Well, that's what you talk. Just kidding. What else did you
play? I think that was the last thing. That's why I started going embellishing about it. So, I haven't played anything else.
Tony, what you
playing?
I got the orange box.
Oh, you got orange box! But you got it for
nice.
The control pad.
Orange box. And I got it for the control pad.
Ugh.
And
for the control pad. That's funny.
That's right. Actually, let me tell you something about this. I am totally amazed by the whole fucking package. I really am. Having got to play the multiplayer game, forgot what it was called.
Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
So that means you got online.
Huh? No, I didn't. Not yet. Oh. I'm gonna do it this week.
But, so you're playing. You're playing with bots or something?
I'm sorry.
How are you?
No.
The
you can't play that game. It's only online players.
Oh, you haven't played it yet. Okay, I thought you said you had played it. Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Continue.
Not played it yet. Yeah. So what I have been playing is Portal, and unfortunately, it's way too short because this game was fucking awesome. It just took me like just over, I think, 3 hours, 3 hours, 7 minutes to clear the whole thing.
Oh, so you're pretty good at it then.
I don't know if that's good or not, but
I think average is about like 3 to 4 hours, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And for like really dumb people like myself, it would probably take like 12 hours.
It's awesome, dude. This fucking game is incredible. And let's not even talk about the computer. That computer is fucking hilarious. And
we
this
will
game,
die, but I won't.
This game has the best ending song ever out of
the Portal
any
song,
fucking.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the ending song, Al. I don't know if you've played this or
neither of us have.
Neither of you. Okay. If you play Portal and beat it, the fucking music is just amazing, right, Pook? Pook liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear everybody loves that song. Like wanted. Apparently, they were trying to give it out for DLC or something like that.
They should put the Portal song on Guitar Hero.
Oh,
so,
man.
I don't think it has guitar.
Yeah, it doesn't have guitar. But if you could just play the words, that would be something. You know? So,
Sing Star.
Oh, please, no. God, no.
No, please not. No, Rock Band.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I played a little bit of Half-Life 2, starting it, because I never played Half-Life 2 in its entirety, ever. So I just started that game, and the difference between the 360 version and the Xbox original version, I'm kind of biased on, because I don't know if it was an emulation problem why the Xbox original version was so ticky.
It's not an emulation problem. It's just the Xbox is not as powerful. Period. That's all. It's the only reason.
So, but was it really that ticky when you played it?
I didn't play it because I refused to play it on a console. But I've seen videos of it, and it looks like complete crap.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
This is much more enhanced. The graphics are just beautiful. All of this is just wonderful. For $60, you get 5 games. That's a kick-ass deal. And I gotta say, I wish the only problem is I wish Portals was longer.
I think that everybody wishes a Portal was longer. Yeah.
Actually, no. What I'm hearing is that everyone says it's just the right length.
Really?
Not that they wish it was longer.
No, that's stupid. I mean,
everybody that I listened to, which is like 3 people, they said they wanted to be longer. Yeah.
No, but that's dumb.
Those 3 people happen to be on Game Slaves.
Yeah, this game, it has the most incredible puzzle-solving thing, and it's all puzzles. So the only limitation is you. If you can't figure something out, you can't
You're
get pissed
idiot.
Off at
yeah.
the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the fucking game is fantastic, but, you know, after it was, like, over, I was like, that's it?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. There is going to be, I believe that they're probably going to do some, like, downloadable content.
Oh, really? Huh.
So you could add on to it. I'm not sure about this. I think they were just talking about this, but it's definitely a viable option for them to do, like,
well, they definitely have a new franchise with just this game.
Yeah.
It's almost like they, you know, they gave this game out like it was a demo. You know what I'm saying? And this whole disc thing, the orange box, was a demo packaged in with, you know, Half-Life. So, like, you know, I just feel that if it kind of felt like they were just unsure that this was going to make it, and which was stupid because this was fantastic. Right. So,
yeah, from when I first saw it, like a long time ago, I said, oh my God, I gotta have this.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think from a developer's perspective, though, the mentality was, let's make a great game, but let's not overextend it, because how long can... And some people will like this, but some people wouldn't. How long... Because you got to realize that the people who are buying Orange Box are probably less puzzle-oriented and more shooter, bang, bang, you know, I want to shoot things.
Oh, I totally understand that.
So they built the game around a short, tightly packed and very intense experience, and then they're like, let's not overextend it, so that people won't complain, okay, this is the same thing over and over and over again. Because some people would have that complaint. People who I would smack upside the head, but they would have that complaint. Yeah. So I guess they wanted to do that and then, like, expand on it later.
Mm-hmm.
It's really actually interesting. Like, the people who made Portal were these guys who... what was the game that they originally called? Like, Norvacular Drop or something?
I don't know. They called this something else.
Cardiovascular drop. Well, no. Portal was basically based on a game that these guys had already made.
Okay.
And Valve saw them and was like, can we hire you and can you make your game for us and we'll rename it Portal? And they're like, okay. So it was kind of like how that guy got commissioned to make Flow for the PS3. Mm-hmm. Sort of, except Valve actually hired these guys, you know, to be internal. So if you are looking to make a game, make a mod or make something really cool like Portal and then get hired.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you been playing, Toner?
No, that's it. Austin, what have you been playing?
I played Newtopia for review. I gave it a 7. I was complaining to Al about it, like, the entire first, like, hour that I was playing it, because, mm-hmm. like, the music was getting on my nerves, and everything was the same as The Legend of Zelda, and it was like, this is, like, a complete rip-off. This is terrible. But the gameplay is actually good. I mean, if it's going to rip off of Zelda, it's doing something right. And the gameplay got a little bit better, and some things were different, not too many, but it was different. You know, it was different enough,
right?
To not be a total clone, maybe only 90% of one. And I mean, have you ever played Newtopia on TurboGrafx, Tony?
Nope.
No. Did you ever have one?
Never heard of it.
TurboGrafx.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And then I am currently playing Dragon Quest Monsters Joker for review, and that thing is going to take me like forever. I'm going to have to cram it all in today. Because they want that thing posted tomorrow. I'm going to be so screwed. For everybody, tomorrow is Monday, so by the time you hear this, it will already be past tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It will be in the future of tomorrow, of past
the probably future Wednesday. Of tomorrow.
Days, tense. So, yes, it will be yesterday, in which it will be posted. Shit,
Christ.
I hate time.
What a conundrum.
Condom-nundrum.
What a condom
big,
pad.
Big titties?
Big titty old
sprinkles.
Titties.
My wife likes big titties.
Angelina Charlie
what are you
got
looking
some
at?
Big ass titties.
Wait. You know, that just reminded me. Did you guys see South Park with Guitar Hero?
No,
I saw a clip of it, though.
Oh, man. Oh. There's two things I have to say about that. A, the episode was funny, but it wasn't as hilarious as a lot of other people would think. I guess it's because I'm really, like, more than deep into Guitar Hero.
Was it funnier than Warcraft episode?
No, the Warcraft episode was funnier, mm-hmm. but even to me, that Warcraft episode wasn't hilarious.
Right, no, it wasn't.
I'll tell you what episode was hilarious, though. The Tourette's episode from, like, a couple of weeks ago. Oh, man. I mean, I guess now on Comedy Central, they've been given full license to show shows that have people cursing after a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, before I went to sleep last night, they had Martin Lawrence run Tell That, and he was just... Oh,
it's after 1 o'clock. They call it the secret stash. So.
Yeah, but now here's the thing: South Park is on at 10 o'clock.
Shut up, bitch.
And they said titty sprinkles in that episode. But the Guitar Hero the Guitar Hero episode was funny because it was just basically about how two rock stars will come out and one will be seen as better than the other, and then they break up because of that, and then there's the rise and fall of the rock star due to drug abuse and stuff like that,
uh-huh.
and then they come back together at the end. So Stan is the one that's seen as better than Kyle, and Stan becomes this big Guitar Hero star, and he gets a replacement, which is this guy named like Thad or something like that.
Thad. Oh.
And the guy can play Guitar Hero acoustically.
Okay.
So he's like, yeah, can you play such and such? Forget what it was. So then he's sitting at the restaurant table. He has the guitar on his back. So he throws the guitar up, and then he throws his hand up and goes...
What?
Yeah. So basically, he's like playing the notes for the song without the song actually playing. That's what they call Guitar Hero acoustically.
Oh.
So then he goes, yeah, well, how about you play this? And then he raises his hand, and goes...
So he's just clicking the buttons and nothing's coming out.
Yeah, and then the people in the restaurant are like, oh man, that's a great song. But by far, the funniest part of that episode was when Stan got hooked on Heroin Hero.
Oh my God.
He went to the game store looking for another game to play because he was upset that he had broken up his friendship with Kyle over this whole thing. And then the guy behind the counter was like, well, have you ever heard of He pulls out the game Heroin Hero.
Jesus.
He goes, no, what's that? He goes, yeah, well, you're basically in a forest, and you have this needle, and you put it in your arm, and you're chasing this dragon, but the only thing is, you never catch the dragon. So then throughout the whole rest of the episode, Stan is, like, wasting his time. He's not playing guitar. He's playing Heroin Hero all, like, drunked out and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And on the game, it's just, it looks like Duke Nukem or, like, Serious Sam or something.
Uh-huh.
And in the one hand is the heroin needle, and the other hand is his arm just stuck out. And the dragon is like, come on, catch me. You know you catch me. Almost got me. Oh, you can catch me.
That's funny.
And that was hilarious. So if you can see it, you got to see it. It's pretty cool. But what I was going to say, the second thing about it was that.
That was only the first thing?
That was the first thing.
Jesus Christ.
I don't even know if I'd be able to explain it, because I don't know if you saw it, Austin.
No, I did not.
On the Guitar Hero Union, the League Union, Steven Scott, you know, Scott
yeah,
Steven.
Yeah.
He had posted a video of Hell Ashes from Score Hero doing a World Series of video games. And he was playing Hangar 18, and he was playing Jordan, but he failed Jordan.
Oh, boo.
but he played Hangar 18. And now he's not looking at the screen.
You fucking bitch.
He's on stage in front of a small crowd, and he's like, playing Guitar Hero for the crowd, and like playing behind his head, and he's like pulling off the hard phrases without messing up, and he's running around the stage, and he'll like hit people's faces and stuff.
Is he using the wireless guitar?
No, the wired guitar, the wired Explorer.
Oh, okay.
But it's got a really long wire somehow.
Yeah.
And they rate you apparently in a World Series of video games
on,
based
like,
on
your performance,
like,
as well.
Your performance, yeah, as opposed to how well you actually play the game.
Right.
And so that reminded me of this episode of South Park, because he's like not even looking at the screen. He's like playing Guitar Hero in front of a whole bunch of people, and that's what Stan had to do. He completely fucked up.
Oh.
And so we can move on to next.
Back to what I've been playing.
Oh yeah. Forgot you still.
Yeah.
I thought all you were playing was Newtopia and Dragon Quest.
Yeah, Pokemon. But I mean, I was going to talk a little bit about Dragon Quest.
I thought you did already.
No, oh. All I said was that I was playing for review, and it's going to take a long time. And you're like, oh, Guitar Hero! Which is totally random.
Had to been something. It had to have been a reason why I said that.
Because you have long hair.
Oh, titty sprinkles. That's
titty
why.
Sprinkles.
Titty sprinkles.
You know what? Forget it. Fuck it. Let's move on. Alright, I did a very bad job of the bucket this week, so I apologize to those listeners who don't like this news, but fuck you, it doesn't matter. First article up, this is called 28 Confessions of a GameStop Shift Supervisor. This is actually on theconsumerist.com. Let's see what date it was posted on. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday that it was posted. I'm trying to find the keywords. Consumerist.com, it was posted...
Tuesday.
Okay, it was Tuesday, and you can use the keywords confessions, GameStop, insiders, and it should bring that up. And this is basically a guy who is kind of sick of hearing all the criticism and all the people like shitting on GameStop and their practices. And would you like to pre-order? No. Would you like to pre-order this? No. Would you like to? Would you like Game Informer magazine? And you know, he started people bashing. So I mean, he basically gave 28 quote unquote tips on how to successfully shop at GameStop. And some of this is a little eye-opening. It's a good read. Some of his stuff includes the policy on gutted games, you know, how like people will want a new copy of a game, and then the guy will take the case off the shelf and put the game back in, because they have to take the game out for display cases, and a lot of people don't like that.
Right.
Because it's like floor model. Yeah.
Huh?
Because it's like they feel it's a floor model, like it's used anyway, so...
Right.
Yeah. As is.
So he's talking about like how to, you know, manage through that, and you have the right to refuse it, but they're not going to like, if that's the last copy and they don't have any more new copies, they're not going to give you like a discount on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of sucks, but I think they should.
Yeah.
But he talks a little bit about reserves and like why they do it, and you know, he stresses that like the loudest people are the ones who aren't happy, and like for all the millions of customers who do have satisfactory reserves, you know, the 2 or 3 people that fuck up are the ones that talk the loudest, so everyone has a bad impression of them, but they're really not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
let's see. it's as simple as this. If you know you plan to buy a game X, place a deposit on it. It will ingratiate that employee to you, whether they show it or not, whether or not they show it immediately, because each employee gets like a kickback for, or he gets like a little notch commission. For every commission or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it's necessarily a commission, but just like that. Just feedback on like, oh, this guy made a pre-order. Yeah. And he also makes an interesting point that it guarantees that the store gets sent at least a few copies. So if it's a game from like Atlas that is probably going to sell like two copies, and like we're sitting here going, why doesn't Atlas like have more games in their store shelves? Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, the answer is pre-order them, because then that sends a signal to GameStop that hey, people are interested in this game.
Right.
So let's send more in because people want this.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the last advantage is that it keeps a copy for you. Duh, that's why you reserve it. But I think that's, for me, that's particularly enlightening. It's like, I never wanted to pre-order shit because I don't want to, whatever. But, when it comes to games that I know are going to be rare, then maybe I should, maybe it would help distribution of that game if I went to pre-order if I knew I wanted it anyways. Like, Persona 3, I didn't pre-order that, but I'm pretty sure that that game is not very plentiful. So... like, going in there and pre-ordering it would ensure that at least some GameStop people would stock it. There's also stuff about the subscription card and trade-in values. And he basically gets really defensive here and is like, he's like, the fact that we take Madden 2001 in the first place should be enough.
Well,
and he's kind of right, because who else is going to take Madden 2001, but they give you like $2 for it. But he's like, that $2 is more than $0, so don't be like bitchy about it. So.
But he also recommends that you definitely go to eBay and Amazon.com if you are unhappy with the selling rates.
Respectable. Like the fact that he is willing to say, if you don't like it, then you have the right to sell it for more, so go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
He's saying that GameStop doesn't take DVDs anymore. So any of you guys trying to sell your DVDs back, don't bother.
Because when you think of GameStop, you think DVDs.
Yeah,
well,
dude,
I
saw
GameStop
50 cents
on sale
there at a GameStop. I'm like, why are they selling 50 cent CDs?
Mm-hmm.
There's this GameStop near my house, and it says GameStop and movies too.
And movies
are you
too.
And movies
I'm serious.
Too. We're the new Blockbuster. Actually, we're not. Yes. Moving on.
That's funny. Yeah, moving on. So read this story on theconsumerist.com. And again, it was posted on Tuesday. Here's another one from Chris Kohler from Game Life. It says, it's this interesting, weird thing. Unconfirmed, but there was a memo that went out to Target, to Target stores to pull Manhunt 2 from the shelves. And
yep, for PSP.
Is it for PSP only?
Well,
I think
they're showing
PSP,
a picture of PSP. Because
there was a story about it, I heard.
Okay.
I don't know. It could be extended, but there's this one guy on GameSpot who wrote a letter to Target, pissed that they actually did this because the hack doesn't involve retail copies. But go on with the story.
So he basically says that this might be the memo that went out and says, is this the text from the memo that was sent around to all Target stores instructing them to pull Manhunt 2 from shelves? If so, it would suggest that Take-Two has agreed to take back all copies of the game. Quote, the game has been identified as having graphic nature, duh, and we have decided not to carry this title. The vendor Take-Two Games has agreed to take back the title.
Fucking retarded.
Michael Antonucci at the Mercury News is attempting to verify this memo's veracity. It was posted in a comments thread beneath his original reporting on the story. So we don't know whether or not we can trust it, but it's interesting. Here's what the actual memo says. 11-02-07, Manhunt 2 shipment. Electronics guest service front end receiving chargebacks. Issue 1. Manhunt 2 is a new video game releasing this week. It is currently on the way to stores. The game has been identified as having graphic nature, and we decided not to carry this title. The vendor, Take-Two Games, has agreed to take back the title. Action 1. Please refuse shipments of Manhunt 2. It will be coming direct to store on Post Office Box 520-8023, or whatever that means. Do not, in any circumstance, put this title on shelves. Action due date 11-03.
And signed MW.
Signed MW. Thank you, MW. You have protected our children
from
their
parents.
Nothing.
From their parents.
Okay, I guess.
Not doing their job.
I gotta say, this letter looks official, in that it says issue 1, but there's no issue 2.
Issue 1.
Issue only. Action only. What the fuck? Just say issue or action. Don't say issue 1 and there's no issue 2. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, there's this funny thing about Manhunt too. I hear that while the gruesome kills are in the game, but they're all blurred out and affected and stuff like that. Headshots and shit are unedited.
Things, like
you can shoot somebody in the head, blow their head clear off, and if you stay there long enough, the blood will leak out of their head, and you'll just be like, "Hey, look, I just made
That's
a headshot
because we've
on somebody."
Seen that and
Monkeys
done that.
Also, there are people also throwing shit at you, and when I say shit, I really mean literally the brown digestive stuff that comes out of your rectum, and
nice.
They don't censor that out.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were talking about it on the IGN podcast, the Wii channel, like Matt Casmasian and Mark Bowes, and they were talking about how like why don't they censor that out, but they censor out these stupid kills. Like, what's more disgusting? Like you hammering a nail into someone's kneecap or someone throwing a shit in your face. Mm-hmm. But they don't censor that. So I don't know, it's weird.
They didn't take issue with it. Maybe they didn't realize it.
Yeah.
If they didn't realize. If it's not painted in red, they don't realize shit. They're like, right. Oh well, no problem. You know?
Yeah, and they throw red shit at you, they're gonna censor that.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it's shitty red.
I got bloody stool.
Oh, man.
Listen, my wife is giving me hell. What do you want?
She wants your bloody stool.
She just said that. I want your bloody stool. What'd she say?
Next item, I can't believe I banged that thing. Sony CEO says High Def Wu Movie War is a stalemate.
Oh, please.
This is Sir Howard Stringer. And Chris Kohler wrote this. Bummed about Blu-ray, so is Howard Stringer. The CEO of Sony, speaking at an event in Manhattan, said that the fight between competing high-definition movie formats is looking like a stalemate. Mm. We were trying to win on the merits, which we were doing for a while until Paramount changed sides, he said, referring to the studio's recent switch to HD DVD over Sony's format, which boggles my mind. But the Associated
Probably
Press
money.
Reports that Stringer is attempting to downplay the importance of winning the war, saying that the winner will mostly be a matter of prestige. Sounds like he's trying to prepare everyone for another Sony format that won't become the standard. That's a little jumping the gun. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both... I really do think that they're both a stalemate. Like, I don't think Sony's going to lose this one anytime soon, if they lose at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, like... I don't know. Like, the HD DVD players are actually coming out now for, like, $100.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
So they need to reduce the price of Xbox One.
Hmm?
I said they need to reduce
the
price of
Xbox
One.
Yes, exactly.
I don't care if they have Hero Season 1 with it. It still shouldn't be $170.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't know. Well, Hero Season 1 would be equivalent to, I don't know, like what, $40 retail?
I guess.
So they should lower the price to like $140 or something. But
yeah, $150.
$150 is fine, yeah. I don't know. I have my Blu-ray player, aka PS3, which doesn't see any games. But so I'm fine with this format for now. I mean, like, right now, I just use it to upscale my DVDs. I don't even have a Blu-ray. So.
Yeah, I don't even have, like, a high-def TV, so I don't give a fuck right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I really do think they could have... You know what? I'm not going to jump the gun and say that. Because now it costs $400 for PS3, and they still have Blu-ray in it. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No backwards compatibility, though!
Keep your PS2.
Yeah. Ugh. That doesn't upscale. Moving on, there's just an interesting numbers racket thing. Kotaku posted the sales charts for the past year or so. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Past 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
A look back at the year's NPD sales. And after 1 year, this is all United States. No Walmart. And I think to date, they posted 9 months worth of numbers, but the to date numbers are for the entire life cycle of the console. So Xbox 360 is over 7 million in the United States. Wii is 4.95 million, and then the PS3 is 2.1 million. Remember, this is not counting Walmart.
Right.
So discuss.
Was that to date or this year?
The million sales.
Yeah.
Those are today, life cycle.
Wow. Didn't Nintendo say they were trying to hit 6 million? But that doesn't count Walmart, so maybe they did.
Maybe they did, yeah.
Or maybe it was worldwide. I don't know. I doubt it would be worldwide. They have much more than 6 million worldwide.
Worldwide, they have... at one point, they already beat the Xbox worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Xbox 360, I mean. So they were over 9 million at one point.
Right.
I don't know if Microsoft gained back the lead.
Interesting to note. In the past 9 months, Xbox 360 outsold Sony PlayStation 3. every single
that's,
month.
That's no surprise, I think.
It's
I
a
think
surprise to me, only because,
really?
You know, they, you know, PlayStation 3 is supposed to be like this, you know, this highly toted fucking thing, you know, and...
Yeah, but it was $600.
Yeah, it was like $600.
Yeah, I know, but now they have copies. I mean, like, so nobody wants them?
Like, well, there's still no games.
Yeah, yeah, and this is this data ends in September. Like, we don't know how well the PS3 sold for the past 2 months.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, for the past month and a half or so. And, like, again, like Al said, it has no games. Once it gets the games, then...
Yeah.
Once it gets the games and the people realize that it's not $500 anymore, then... It'll be something to do, but I think it's interesting how much Halo helped.
Oh yeah,
look, oh yeah.
The 360. Oh, what did Reggie say? It's not going to be a system seller. Let's take a look. January 360 sold 294K. February 228. March 199. April 174. May a low of 155,000. 198,000. For June, 170,000 for July, 276,000 for August, and then September in Halo month, 527,000 units beating out the Wii.
Oh, it's not going to move consoles.
Booyah!
It's not going to move consoles
at
all.
That's because it's perfect for you.
That's because all those people who were playing Halo 2 all this time, they didn't buy a 360 yet.
Or they had it on 360 and they were playing it, and then they got more friends to buy 360s for three. But
maybe.
Yeah, but this is an interesting look at the numbers when you consider our next piece where the 360 beat out the PlayStation 3 in Japan, too.
That's
what?
Wow. Whoa. Home
what the? Okay.
Country just
so,
underdogging.
So, Blue Dragon comes out, and that bumps the sales up somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some other game in Japan came out, and that was
Halo
like,
3.
No, there was another game. That actually sold decently in Japan, actually.
Yeah, it did.
But there was another Japanese-centric game that came out for the 360 recently that really didn't do much either. And then, of all games, Ace Combat 6.
Wow. They're planning something.
Hey, people like that shit. a friend of mine at work,
Pearl
he was
Harbor
like,
Part 2.
Ace
no,
Combat
but,
6
but
come
the,
out.
The Japanese like that more than they do like a Mistwalker game from the Final Fantasy guy? I mean, that to me, that's just weird. Like, I never even... Imagine that.
Me neither. I don't know. These people are weird.
Pearl Harbor.
Just like us.
That's racist, son.
Pearl Harbor, bitch.
Oh, God. PlayStation 3 sold 17,434. 360 sold 17,673. So it beat it out by 200 units.
Wow.
But
that's
still
like
beat
a Guitar
it out.
Hero
yeah.
score, like a big tournament score. Oh, my God. It got beat out by 15 points.
Yeah. One note.
One note.
Nothing's no, never going to live that down.
Well, here's another one, interesting one from Sandra Amod. Is this a new name that we can make fun of? This is from the New York Times. Sandra Amod. Let me spell that last name for you. A-A-M-O-D-T. So this article is by Sandra Amod and Sam Wang. It's called Exercise on the Brain, and I basically call this Brain Age is a Sham. Go to the gym instead. Because it basically implies that... something like Brain Age and all those computer games and Sudoku and all that shit is inspired by scientific research, but not actually proven by science. Let me find the key
paragraph.
It says, practice can certainly make people better at Sudoku puzzles or help them remember lists more accurately. The improvement can even last for years. Similarly, people tend to retain skills and knowledge they learned thoroughly when they were younger. Unless the activities span a broad spectrum of abilities, though, there seems to be no benefit to general mental fitness. So, if you're going to be doing Sudoku, you're going to be good at, like, deduction and some numbers things, but it's not going to make you smarter, period.
Of course not.
Right. There was, shit. Here we go. For people whose work is unstimulating, having mentally challenging hobbies, like learning a new language or playing bridge, can help maintain cognitive performance. But the belief that any single brain exercise program late in life can act as a quick fix for general mental function is almost entirely faith-based. One form of training, however, has been shown to maintain an improved brain health, and that's physical exercise.
Wow.
So
what?
Don't play Brain Age. Go to the gym.
Go to the gym.
Yeah. Which is interesting. It says in humans, exercise improves what scientists called executive function, set of abilities that allows you to select behavior that's appropriate to the situation. inhibit appropriate behavior and focus on the job at hand in spite of distractions. In other words, at a sexual harassment seminar, you don't go up and feel up the lady's ass when she's talking to you about it. So going to the gym will help you determine not
PETA.
To do that. PETA. My name's PETA. But, yeah, so if you're old, don't buy Brain Age. Go to the gym.
Yeah.
This
spend
next...
$400 a year.
If you're old, you shouldn't
membership.
Go to the gym either. Broken hip, heart attack.
Well, no, like you can walk on the treadmill or something.
Yeah.
If you can stand.
If you can stand, go to the gym.
This next one is a downer. It's really depressing, and it makes me almost cry to say this.
Why?
Mark Wahlberg is going to be Max Payne.
I don't know.
Why does it
he's
make
been,
you sad?
He's been doing his thing on that silver
Mark
screen.
Mark Wahlberg is great. I'm just saying the fact that they're making another video game movie.
Oh,
and they're trying
yeah.
To... You saw the new Hitman is coming out, right?
Oh, Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Freaking Timothy
yeah.
Oliphant. I never really played the games, but it seems kind of cool. What?
Oh, it's got guns.
Jackass. Well, Mark Wahlberg must feel like a man with nothing to lose. Variety reports that he signed up to star in the movie adaptation of the game Max Payne. Mm-hmm. This marks the first movie based on a Rockstar game. And then this is Jeff Keighley, actually, who is... He's a really popular game journalist. I don't know where he calls his home, mm-hmm. but he's mostly on game trailers. And I believe is he on G4 TV?
I don't know.
I'm asking Toner because I know you watch G4.
No, I don't watch it anymore.
Jeff
actually.
Keighley. Oh, okay. Good man. he writes, personally, I can't wait to see if the film script is as overwritten as the game, which it is. But that's a part of the game's charm. Mm-hmm. Max Payne the movie.
Yeah. I think it might be a good movie adaptation because of what it is. I mean, it's just going to be your standard, like, revenge novel and
stupid.
Shit. Not revenge novel, revenge movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm not expecting it to be, like, great, wonderful, you
of
know, change
not.
My
Look.
Life type of shit.
Yeah.
Look.
I will say, though, that Mark Wahlberg does have the squishy face. If he scrunches his face up, he could pull out the Max Payne squishy face.
oh, man. You know, it's just like Angelina Jolie and, Tomb Raider,
Raider,
you know,
oh, Jesus,
Tomb Raider, you know. So, yeah, big name actor going to do a movie. Is it yeah. going to help the movie? Probably not. Is it going
you
to
know
help
what?
The
if
game?
John Woo directs this, I'll watch it.
Are you serious?
Hey, yeah, that would be awesome. Cause John Woo's a great action director.
I guess he doesn't buy it.
I'm like, what the hell?
Have you ever played Max Payne, Tony?
I have not, but I have seen Charlie's Angels, and okay.
What does Charlie's Angel have to do with that?
Didn't John Woo direct that?
Yeah, but that's like one failure in like a whole tons of shit that he's done right.
Did you like Mission Impossible 2?
No.
No.
The action, not the movie.
Okay, the action was all right.
Did you like...
Face Off. Broken
no.
Arrow.
Face Off was John
Woo. Hard Boiled.
Fuck, no.
Hard Boiled.
Jesus Christ. Never saw Hard Boiled, but you just mentioned Face Off, and that just brought back a whole painful memory. I feel like I just
action.
Got raped in a closet.
Action.
I don't care. Action. The movie sucks.
Action.
Action.
That's what the whole freaking game is about. That's what we're talking about.
I don't care.
Action.
It blows.
If you play the game.
Action only.
All right. I'm yeah. talking. Okay. I
issue
never,
one.
First of all, I've never played Max Payne, so I'm not talking about Max Payne.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying that he would fit the Max Payne role, because if you've played Max Payne, mm-hmm. which you haven't, that's what I'm trying to explain.
Okay,
that's why we say
the game's action is perfect for his directing style.
Okay, so there'll be more dubs.
No, what dubs? What
dubs?
What?
You know, John Woo
there,
with
there aren't any SUVs
dubs.
In this game.
The fucking
SUVs.
This isn't Midnight Club.
28 ribs on my dubs.
I'm just
dub.
Being outrageous
dub
right
edition.
Now.
Dubs.
Let's go on.
Run on dubs.
This movie's going to suck right. anyways. And finally, yeah. Super Mario Bros. 3 graces a virtual console in anticipation of Mario Galaxy. You know what that means? That means that you're going to pay $5 to play one of the greatest games in the world, and then you're going to pay $8 again to download it all over again when Super Mario All-Stars comes out.
With better graphics.
Wow. That's,
so you're buying the same thing twice.
Good
but,
planning.
but, you know, what also came out?
What?
Your face.
Alien Soldier!
Yes, that's right, Alien Soldier. This is much in the vein of Sin and Punishment. This is a Japan and Europe only. Actually, Alien Soldier did come out in Europe, didn't it?
Yeah, Mega Drive.
Europe and Japan only game that never saw the light of day in the United States, and it's by Treasure, which means it's better than you. So, you go
it's
buy it.
Kind of,
if you don't buy it, you're a failure in life, and Al can attest to that.
Yeah. Except my Wii hasn't been connected in like 3 weeks, so I guess I'm a failure life myself.
You're a failure
but life. I will be buying it when I. The first thing I do when I plug in my Wii is I'm gonna go to Wii Shop Channel and I'm gonna buy Alien Soldier and I'm gonna die on the first boss.
Oh, your hard drive is full. Please delete some more virtual console games
because we're not smart
enough to have a hard drive.
That's probably what's gonna happen too.
Fucking Nintendo
retarded. Why don't they
shit.
Just come out with a flash port?
Because they're stupid and backwards, and they're like graphics don't matter at all, so hard drives can't matter either. That's stupid. That's not what they said, but they might as well have said
yeah.
that.
Yeah, all they care about is the money that it prints out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can't fault them for that. I mean, they are richer than like 10 times us put together with like 5 exponential pots of gold in our houses. And let's move on.
Pot of gold in the rainbow.
What?
What?
I don't know.
Is that
I
your
do
horrible
a very,
Irish accent?
I don't do impressions very well.
What?
Yeah, see, I'll leave it for you. You could just mute that whole part out that I just
I'm
did.
Black. That shit.
You sound black.
Just make sure you don't.
Where are you from?
What?
Oh, man.
What? All right, let's move on to the bag of shitty
wag.
Shit.
Bag of dung.
The bag of wag.
We are here at the bag of shit, and I haven't thought of my game yet. So, Al, what's your bag of shit?
Red blood.
Red blood. What?
Red blood shit. That's what it is.
What?
Bag of red bloody shit. We were just talking about this.
Bloody
Man
stool.
Manhunt.
Oh.
Manhunt. Throw a red bloody shit.
The bloody stool.
Bloody stool.
Yeah. No.
God damn it.
Okay.
Melty bloody stool.
Melty bloody stool. Lee.
Al, what are you playing?
What am I playing? I'm definitely not playing
bag of
shit.
What are you playing? This is bag of shit. Wrong segment.
Yeah. I'm going to make this a quick senseless bag of shit here, okay?
Okay.
Zillion for Sega Master System.
Zillion?
Zillion.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Zillion is in a... It's like a... Kind of like a Metroid-ish type of design game where you have to go through like a maze and shoot things and rescue people and get power-ups and shit. Mm-hmm. Like places are blocked off without power-ups and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the game is like basically you play as this dude and you have to rescue these three chicks because you guys were all together but then something happened and... You know, motherfuckers took the girls, and you take,
They tried to kill my wife. Sorry, go ahead.
That's right. With success, it comes enemies. You know, you get successful. Anyway,
Nothing.
Just the different people I think had different abilities or something. I don't even remember that part. Well, all I really remember that makes the game a bag of shit is that. They just drop you in the game, and there's nothing that you can do to like pass the game. But if I was to just give you a Master System and Zillion and a controller right now, you'd be like, "What the fuck do I do?" It's another one of those games that's like,
"Did you see the movie?" There was no movie. Oh, then you fail.
Did John Woo direct it?
I'm tired of these games. I am tired of these games that have they just drop you in, and you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Uh-huh.
It's not even like you could snoop around and figure it out. It's just like you go on one screen and there's guys and you shoot them. And then you go on the next screen and there's guys and you shoot them. And then you go to another screen and the door's locked. And then you go back another screen, there's guys, you shoot them. And then you're like, what the fuck do I do? I don't understand. And I think I played it in the future, like when I was older and smarter. And
he's playing games in the future, folks.
Well, I'm talking about in the future from when I was 8.
After that, yes.
Yeah.
Which was yesterday.
Yeah. Because I went from 8 to 27 in like 6 months.
You're amazing.
Yeah, I'm awesome. I am super awesome. Victoria's
Asian sponsor. China secret.
Yeah. So I think I got to a certain part where I like rescued the first girl. Her name was like Apple. But then after that,
Never name your girl after a fruit.
Yeah, and I just couldn't really figure anything else out after that. It was just like. You know, it's a big computer, and you had to put in some kind of code, but they never told you where the code was. Probably an instruction manual, and I was like, fuck it. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Because Cherry sucks. Tits is not a good name for a girl.
Cherry Tits.
Cherry Pits.
I thought he said Cherry Tits.
No, I said Cherry.
You might as well... Cherry Tits?
That's it. Move on!
What is your bag of shit toner?
Oh, man. You know, I was going to keep on the Genesis vein, you know, to follow Al's Sega Master System debacle. But I was thinking Zoop, but now I changed my mind.
Zoop?
I'm going to bring up...
Hey, I liked Zoop.
I didn't like Zoop at all.
Zoop was a funny game. It was cool. Like,
Zoop was called Zoop.
Yeah, it was. It's called Zoop.
Yeah.
Zoop.
Z-O-O-P.
Yeah, but, the game was like...
You zooped it. What? Hope,
wait,
shut up.
What was the game like again? It was like all these pieces coming from the four sides of the screen.
Yeah,
and you had to put them together.
Yeah.
And then if they were to extend from all the way on the side of the screen, you lose, right?
It's better than Tetris, man. Oh, my God.
You control four corners this time. Eat her.
Zoop.
Yeah, I was going to say Zoop, but I changed my mind. I'm going to go with a little known, very, very, very little known game on the Sega Genesis CD. Sega CD. And it was called Eternal Champions.
The CD version.
Oh!
CD version.
Eternal Champions. Oh, man.
Oh,
go
that
ahead.
Gameplay was shit.
CD version.
You don't even have
Genesis
to work
version.
At this one. We all know it's shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
I still. You know what's funny? I will forever give that game a chance.
What?
Forever.
Why?
It's a shitty game that, I don't know, I just like the premise of it, like the what they thought that they could do with that game.
First of all, the commercial was, Eternal Champions is going to eat your other fighting games for lunch. And I'm talking, I'm thinking, maybe Eternal Champions is anorexic and skip lunch, because that shit, it's not eating anything. The game blows.
Game sucks.
Fucking sucks.
Well, I only played the Genesis version, but it sucked.
Yeah,
well, the CD version is worse.
Worse?
Yeah, it is.
Is
yes.
that possible?
Yes, yes. The controls were awful.
Is it possible to get worse than Back to the Future by LJN?
No.
How is it possible to get worse than the Genesis version of that crappy game?
Well, let's just put it this way. I think for the Sega CD version, they made emphasis on just music and sound. Mm. So,
Oh, and kicking people into fans is a fatality.
Yeah, let's just put it this way. They wanted to do so much with so little. And they did a lot with the music and sound, but the gameplay, holy fucking crap. Nobody even designed this fucking thing. They just kind of like said, okay, we're going to draw characters, make buttons up for it.
That's what it felt like. It didn't feel like
that's it.
Just throw all this shit in the blender.
Okay, so
let's
I'll do down, backwards, triangle, you know, Z-motion.
Triangle.
Triangle.
Hexagon.
Z-motion.
Who got you? Octagon.
And then pat the back of the controller with your dick, and you get a punch.
But wait, I gotta talk about how I feel about this game, though.
Why? It sucks. Just
because, wait. Now, What? Uh-huh.
Huh?
Some people say cucumber tastes better pickled.
What?
Huh?
Okay, go ahead.
I think you just pulled the cucumber.
Yeah, I actually pulled that on somebody. They actually said what?
That's great. That's awesome. What?
The game was supposed to be like, you know, this ultimate fighting game with all these moves, and you're supposed to be like a master of the character, all the different moves, and then you're supposed to train, like, you could train like an AI character, and they get better as you get better, learn how you play, and then you can, like, train yourself by fighting against the AI that adapts to how you play, and then you go through the story mode, and you unfold the story of the person that you're playing with, and how they died.
There was a story?
And then you fight against the... Yes. Every character had a story. It basically was some fucked up tale that led to their death.
Yeah, it was Lawson. He was the
Lawson?
Most, yeah, Lawson was the most advanced cat burglar in 1938. He had a grappling hook.
But wait, now check it out.
And then he pissed on the third rail and got electrocuted.
Oh my god, then, I can't believe you said that. We had that theory going on a while ago.
What?
The third rail
theory. If you piss on the third rail, you get electrocuted.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, well, so that you were like fighting against the Eternal
Before you go on, if you cut off your stream, you might not get electrocuted. You just do the sprints.
You might get lucky. You'd have to be like real, real accurate. With like, stop.
Your piss got electrolytes.
We are video game freaks. We are masters of timing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Work those penile muscles. Go ahead, Al.
We can play a Guitar Hero acoustically.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So then you fight against the Eternal Master at the end, and like he's supposed to be like the ultimate master, but he's really the ultimate cheese. And then he beats you and you never get to relive that point in which you died, so you stay dead.
Awesome.
But I don't know. I always like wanted to learn a character and actually be good at that game, but that's just not possible. So the only thing that saves that game is the music, which Bone Thugs took like half an album for.
Now, which version are you talking about? The Genesis version or the Sega CD version?
I'm talking about the Genesis version at the moment.
Oh, okay. Because the music on the Sega CD version was okay.
Uh-huh.
I think it was recorded in Qsound, which is why I said they put emphasis on... you know, on just sound and
sound,
development
sound.
Of the game itself just was put on like the back burner because
Genesis game.
They probably just took the Genesis game and like,
it
left them
two shades darker. Let's add some more blood and put music in there.
Oh, funny. Add some more blood. Kick somebody to the fan. More blood. Overkill.
Do this mentality. Where, like, wasn't there one ridiculous one where like some. Like lava monster jumps out of the lava and eats you or something for that caveman stage or something.
Oh, I don't.
Or are you just knocking it?
No, you're talking about. Are you talking about Time Killers?
No,
that's even worse. You talk about. Yeah, Time Killers is a terrible game. But anyway,
that's next week's bag of shit.
that gives me inspiration for a bag of shit next week. Anyway, there was a fatality where you kick somebody in a fan. There's a fatality where you kick somebody into a bonfire, so you burn them at a stake.
Into
kind
a
of.
Bonfire. That's.
Yeah, there's
oh no, my coattails are on fire. What am I going to do now? I guess I should just sit here and wait for the whole suit to burn.
No, apparently the bonfire is so strong that as soon as you kick them into it, they like immediately set blaze. Yeah, I think you kick somebody into a pool of like slime or a swamp or something. You kick somebody into in Larson stage. I think you kick somebody into the background and the car goes by and kills them, like hits them.
That sounds familiar.
I can't remember any other ones.
It's not worth it.
The game sucked.
The game
blows. So,
only thing I have to think of is Bone Thugs taking all the music from that game and putting it on the album.
I got to listen to that now.
Yeah, the first part where the Eternal Master is telling the story of like how he created the tournament, the music behind that is on a Bone Thugs song. And the song...
Meet you at the crossroads.
And then there's the song that they play when they describe all the characters. It's like...
His bone and Biggie.
Oh, they're dangerous. I don't even know the words of the song. I forgot to mention the regular. My song is the Eternal Champions. Sega songs.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Let's see. What's my bag of shit? It was... I'm currently flipping a coin between Renegade for the NES.
Oh!
Wow.
And Art of Fighting. The original Art of Fighting.
Renegade. Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, all I can remember, besides, shit. Like, struggling with the controls and his stiff-ass movement... stiffer than a porn star dick, is getting beat up by a really fat lady in a muumuu by her purse.
Yeah. Well, that was her. That
Do
was
you
her,
remember this? Like, she comes hunters. Out of a door, and then she just swacks you with a purse, and it takes off, like, your entire life bar. And she's, like, really fat. And it's like, what?
You're talking about Matilda.
And she's got,
Matilda
like, a bowl haircut.
Yeah, Matilda the Hun.
Matilda the Hun.
If you saw, I think that was her name. If you ever saw in the 80s this wrestling venue called GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, Matilda the Hun was the biggest bitch in there, fat, ugly, and I think the game, the character design was based on her, and it looks like her.
And, dude, that game controlled so poorly. And
first
then,
of all,
like,
did
you
play
it
on
by
the arcade?
A bag lady. No, this is the NES version.
No, I'm saying, did you play it on the arcade?
No, is it worse than the arcade?
Let's just put it this way. It's a three-button controller, kind of like Double Dragon, okay? And the controls on the arcade version were horrible, too. So how do you translate horrible controls from an arcade to the NES?
You make it worse.
You make Bionic Commando, which managed to be better than the arcade version.
Oh, the arcade version sucked ass.
We've got a listener bag of shit.
Ah.
A baggie of waggy from Edu Buccaneer. The game is called Q-Billion for the Game Boy. I seem to remember this.
I've heard of this.
Sad as this all is, this game was my second game ever for my Game Boy. Oh, God, that must have been a good second impression. My parents got my brother and I Game Boys Mario Land and this piece of lard. Never before have I ever heard lard as a... This works. That's awesome.
You're a big piece of lard. I'm gonna go take a walk.
Ever since then, I have no idea how this game is supposed to be played. It's been like 20 years. Basically, you control a mouse that has to move across a squared environment, moving boxes and making them disappear. Other than that, you can choose some numbers for whatever that's worth. If you know what you're supposed to be doing in this game, give me a call. Maybe that can be at my 20th birthday party that I own this.
Wait,
the 20th year party that he owned it. He's owned this cart for 20 years and hasn't known how to play it.
Welcome to the bag of lard.
Because what he's saying is, it sounds like...
Kickle cubicle.
No, moving boxes. Okay, no, this is a totally different game. I don't know what the fuck this is.
Hold up. Okay, keep on talking. I'm going to look this up on Wiki.
Yeah, because I have no idea on what Cubillion is. But, it sounds like it sucks.
It does sound like it sucks.
Is no Wikipedia entry for it.
Really? Wow.
So
Cubillion. Just the name alone gets mentioned for fucking bag of lard.
Don't forget, what else goes in the bag of shit? Crysis, Mario Galaxy, and Halo 3. They all suck.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy, definitely.
Ratchet and Clank's also is terrible.
Ass and Creed.
I don't like any better. Okay, moving on. We are at the mailbag, and you know why we're at the mailbag? Because the Jew is not here. He's taking a trip to Vegas on his penis plane.
He's taking a lard.
Ethan, that piece of lard.
But he's being dumb again, so we wanted to save Al's much-awaited topic for the waiting in line for video games and the media sensationalization, which is not a real word, by the way. Of such a phenomenon and why it's obnoxious, well, at least in my eyes. We could have done it last week, but Tony wasn't here!
No,
not last week. But you were under the weather. You have a good excuse. Jew doesn't have a good excuse.
Oh, he does. Mommy got to go to the airport.
Shh! We're not supposed to reveal that. We're supposed to make him sound stupid.
Oh.
Jerk.
Well, his mom sucks anyway.
Huh?
It's all right, Seth, and his mom sucks anyway.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Ouch!
Ouch, okay. Indeed.
Ouch! So, mailbag. Question from Agaz Madan. Supersonic 97 says... Xbox Live... Okay, this is two questions. First one. Xbox Live Arcade is a division of Xbox Live in which we pay to play arcade games, like Geometry Wars. I've never actually bought anything from aforementioned Arcade of Pwnage, for I support independent developers. Recently, an idea... popped into my head. What if XBLA, which has over 25 million downloads, was open source? Just a division of XBLA in which members of the humongous community could collaborate to create original titles free to the public. Should we lick the mighty pussy that is a proprietary arcade games or screw open source arcade games?
I'm not quite understanding this.
He's saying that he wants it to be an open source venue where anybody can go in, like people go in and create mods for Half-Life. People can go in and create Xbox Live arcade games instead of having to go through the rigorous process of using the XNA development kit and submitting it to Microsoft, paying all those fees and all that shit, getting them to approve it, and then putting it up and settling on an MSRP and all that stuff, and instead just saying, hey, can we make a game and put it on Xbox Live and let people download it?
Oh, okay.
That's what he's saying.
that's interesting.
I think that would give way to, these freeware charts where there's just a whole bunch of shitty games that aren't worth your time.
Right.
And, you know, there may be one or two gems in there, and that'll be the next phenomenon, but most of it is going to be just filler. Go to any, shareware, freeware game site, now I guess it's a Flash game site because people don't really make freeware games for Windows straight up anymore. So go to any Flash game site and find out which games are worth your time. And then think about whether all those Flash games were in Xbox Live Arcade format and available for download on their service. You know, how much gunk is that going to be?
Right.
I kind of like it the way it is, where it's like, you know, every game that comes out is really kind of like a gem, almost. Right. Uh-huh. Every game that comes out. I can name many more games on Xbox Live Arcade that are gems, that are good,
and that
as opposed
Zuma.
To games that are like Yaris.
Yaris. Oh, yeah. God. I think from a business perspective, it would not be smart for Microsoft to do this because it would dilute their brand. It would, and I know this sounds like marketing speak. Ding, ding, ding.
Marketing.
Whatever. Say what you want about marketing speak. That shit is legitimate stuff. And
It is legitimate.
It affects how businesses work, and it affects how it affects their bottom line. They're losing enough fucking money as it is on the Xbox thing. But, you dilute the brand. You're saying, oh, we're Xbox Live. We cater to people who want retro arcade games, these gems from the past. But now you can also find this whole load of shit that you really don't care about and that really will, like, clog up the bandwidth and, like, take up virtual shell space and, like, you'll wade through all this useless shit. But, you know, it's okay because we don't care about standards. We just want any and every game on our system. So let the trash into our system. Mm-hmm. You know, that's from a...
Sounds like PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, the PlayStation does a much better marketing job on their big titles, so that's okay. In this case, when people just hop online and see a whole bunch of turdular shit, it's kind of like, well, I don't care that it's free. Why is Microsoft letting this shit get on here? I do think that you know, indie developers should have a better avenue of getting free games up there if they're good. It's really tough, though. It's hard to do that and keep control over your network and not be so stringent on, like, okay, you have to submit this to us. You have to let us test this to make sure it fits all of our standards. And then you can put it up for free. You know what I mean? There still has to be some semblance of standards. You don't want some... If I'm a developer of a really shitty game, I don't deserve to have people look at it.
That's right.
I'm sorry. If I can't develop a good game, it doesn't deserve to be played. It's my own fault for being, like, a shit guy. So...
There's also the situation where you put out a game that is you know, not in good taste,
right?
And if it's open source, you're free to
porno
do
games.
Porno games. Like there was this game, the Columbine Massacre RPG. Although that was different in a sense,
but it was the connotations to it were of something that was very off color to a certain people, like those living in Columbine, Colorado.
Right.
Or wherever it is.
Right.
Columbine, is that the name of the city or was that just the name of the school? Who knows?
City, I don't know. I don't know why Colorado. I just know that Kobe Bryant had sex with a girl there and got off free.
And South Park takes place there.
That Bonet girl got killed there. Yeah.
What?
That is Colorado. Yeah, they have the worst police over there. So, you want to commit crimes and murders? Go to Colorado.
We do not endorse going to Colorado to commit crimes.
Top the Rockies. Coors Light. That's also from Colorado.
Yes, it is.
This is true.
Top the Rockies.
Jesus Christ.
That was wrong. Top the Rockies. Coors Light. Okay.
There's a second question.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, I will say that if you own a Wii
uh-huh.
and you have the Opera web browser, like that, there's actually a site that supports Flash games specifically to be compatible with Wii. So there's a ton of shit there. I mean, that's a venue for that. So, but yeah, second question. Each of you choose a dialogue, buddy. It's dialogue. O G U E. Choose a dialogue-driven movie, one that lacks much action. How would you develop it best so that it doesn't lick wet Tony spoons?
What does that mean?
I don't even want to know what a wet Tony spoon is.
I don't either, and I'm Tony.
You are Tony. A dialogue-driven movie with
I got one, Glengarry Glen Ross. How would I make it more... How would I develop it so that it doesn't lick wet Tony spoons? I don't even know what that means.
Glengarry Glen Ross, that was a freaking awesome movie.
Of course that was. No action. It was.
Where the fuck
the
did you learn your trade? You stupid idiot. You cunt.
You fucking cunt.
Best
idiot.
Al Pacino performance ever.
Yep.
Wait. What
movie
is this?
Always hands
Glengarry
it off.
Glen Ross.
I never heard
it's,
of this.
It's based on a play about a real estate for like a small real estate house, in which like there these guys are pretty much all suckers, right? Except for Al Pacino's
character? No. Well, Al Pacino is a top salesman in a real estate agency. And it's like everybody there is like old. They're washed up. This is the only job they could get.
Jack
Lemmon is pretty much really down in the dumps, and his daughter's in a hospital, and he has no money to pay for it.
Right.
You also have Ed Ross. Is it Ross?
It's Ed Harris.
Ed Harris, sorry. Ed Harris. The main thing about this movie, and what the thing that everybody remembers, is the performance by Alec Baldwin, which was at the very beginning, and you never see him again, but holy fucking shit.
That was amazing.
What a fucking unbelievable.
This could be made into an adventure game dialogue based, I guess.
Listen, ABC, AOAs, BBC, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. Plain and simple.
Listen to this. Okay. Go off topic for a second. Alec Baldwin's character's name is Blake, and one of these guys, I think Ed Harris's character is Dave Moss.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave
He's like,
is all
what's your
upset.
Name? Yeah, what's so your name? Dave, fuck
so
you.
Dave
that's
is all
my
upset.
Name.
Yeah, fuck you. That's my name.
You want to know
Dave
why,
Moss
pal? Because you drove here in a Hyundai.
Alec Baldwin was coming around and kicking them around and treating them like shit.
Yep.
And like he's being obnoxious, so Blake's like, "What's the problem, pal?" And Ed Harris's character goes like, "You're such a hero. You're so rich.
So
how can you be coming down here wasting your time with such
a bunch of bums?
And Alec Baldwin goes, "You see this watch? You see this watch? That watch costs more than your car. I made $907,000 last year. How much do you make?
You
see, pal, that's who I am. And you're nothing. Nice guy? I don't give a shit. Good father? Fuck,
fuck
you.
Fuck you. Go home,
Go home and play with your kids. You want to work here? Close. You think this is abuse? You think this is abuse, cocksucker? You can't take this. How can you take the abuse you get on a sit? You don't like it? Leave."
Fucking A. That was just awesome. And first of all,
you got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them.
You can't close the leads you're given.
You can't close shit.
You are shit.
Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it because you are going out. And then Jack Lemmon goes,
The leads are weak.
The fucking leads are weak. I've been in this business 15 years. Ed Harris goes,
What's your name?
Fuck you, that's my name.
You want to know why?
Wait, no. And the closing line. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
That's my name.
That would be a good game to just watch.
Exactly.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
That sounds like that angry message he left for his daughter. I don't even remember what he said in that message, but that sounds exactly like it.
What happened? Like she revealed something about him?
No. She didn't come home.
Yeah, or something, because he's supposed to like see her.
He was supposed to pick her up. Yeah,
she didn't come and see him. And he left this angry-ass message on her voicemail calling her, like, a fat pig or something like that. Fat, spoiled, unappreciative pig.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see you or something. I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
But what you just said, it was like, you know, Alec Baldwin's a natural at that shit.
He is. He's fucking amazing. So we have Glengarry Glen Ross. What other movie would you say? I would say 12 Angry Men. How are you going to do that?
It would be like Phoenix Wright, I guess, a lawyer game.
I guess, but what each of them saying?
Wait,
crap,
I gotta read this Al Pacino line from Glengarry again. This should make it into the game. Fuck you, Dave. You know you got a big mouth. You make a clothes. This whole place stinks with your farts for a week. How much you just ingested? What a big man you are. He should be AO, rated adults only.
I got a movie. That I just saw last night, actually, would fit really well.
Okay.
Princess Bride.
It has
Princess
action.
Bride, it doesn't have much action.
But it does.
I think
sword fighting.
The rats of... The rodents of unusual size.
Yes.
Yeah, there's about like 5 action scenes in that whole movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a 2-hour movie, just about. It's a good movie, and I think it would be a great...
Just base the game on Peter Falk and that fucking kid. What was Fred Savage. That's it.
What a waste.
I think that movie, if it were to be translated into a game, would be a great LucasArts game.
Yeah, it would.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it would.
An adventure game, yeah. Let's see. Let's just see what we can make out of this, because I don't think this would make a good game, but maybe we could think of it. Traffic.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
I mean,
I should have seen it.
It does have shooting in it, so...
Yeah, but it's not like...
Remember, you gotta... It's dialogue-driven, so it doesn't have much action.
Hmm.
Let's see.
So, it can have action, but if most of it is just like, you know, plot and dialogue,
right,
and just
right.
how people are moving, you know, the characters are developing without running and gunning.
No, what would make a funny game? Fargo.
Fargo, eh?
Hey, oh Fargo. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
from Chatsco.
Fargo in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm from Le Sueur, but I went to high school in Bear Lake. Go Bears.
Bear Lake. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Oh, yeah.
Go Bears. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fargo. Driving my car.
What would that be, like a language tutor?
A language game, yeah. A dialects and accents game.
Oh, my God.
It'd be like Brain Age, except...
I think for for traffic, I think what would have to be done is make a series of spin-offs, and those would also be adventure games like point and click.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Sam and Max episodes.
Yeah, it's hard to do these dialogue-driven things. Like it's strange. I mean, because then people try to force in some action elements
yes.
or some RPG
yeah.
elements, and it's like, oh, you have random battles against thieves.
Yeah.
You know, so the best thing to do is just keep it in the spirit of the movie, make it an adventure game where it's more on puzzle solving and less on actions, you know.
Well, they could make it on a choice-based kind of adventure, like those books, you know, you choose the wrong path, you turn to this page and you're dead.
Right.
You know, they could make a game just based on that. What would you be
And Ricky Roma doesn't close a fucking sale.
Exactly. He's the one getting cursed.
What did you learn to trade, you fucking idiot? Oh, I left the quotes on the in the chat window, underneath the lopsided breasts.
Oh, okay. I'll check them out later. I gotta check them out afterward.
After the breasts, message from Richard Ball. Hey guys, and this is important for everyone to listen up. Anyone who's listening, I wanted to let you know that you might want to check your RSS feeds for the podcast. The iTunes store hasn't updated since episode 60. I love listening to you guys, but for the past 4 episodes, I have to download the show directly from the site. If anybody notices anything wrong, please feel free to send us an email. Like, I update the RSS feeds every time after I update the site, but apparently it has updated since 60, but I'm looking at iTunes right now, and it's only on 66. So, and I know I did update it for 67, 68, 69. So if you guys are seeing any bugs with the iTunes feed or if the episode cuts off in the middle for some odd reason, maybe the upload didn't finish or something like that, just let us know. You can email us at the mailbag, or you can send any one of us a PM on GameSpot or whatever website we're on. So just, you know, if you notice anything wrong, just let us know. Email from Riven from Game Slaves. I don't know why I always wait until the last minute to send in questions, because you're a jackass! No, but here's one off the top of my head, because I've been playing a lot of FaZe lately. What are your guys' experience with the rhythm gaming genre as a whole? Did those of you that play it start with Guitar Hero, or like me, were any of you into DDR beforehand? Obviously, everyone and their mother has played Parappa, except for me
except
and
me.
My mother. But what about Harmonix's other games? Frequency was pretty cool. Yeah, so answer that question as best you can. Sorry for the way this email is being written, as it's late and I'm tired and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so...
There is, never mind. I'm not going first this time.
Tony. Tony, you don't play rhythm games, period, right?
Well, no. I mean, there's some games that I did play. I did play Parappa. I did play Jamalami. I liked them both. I thought they were funny and cute. And then I played Final Fantasy X2, and they have a rhythm kind of thing in there as well. Yeah, and I just, you know, I don't respond well to games that just put all these buttons at you and, you know, makes you want to, because once, I mean, I'd rather have something where I can, if you're going to give me a rhythm game, give it some action, not just some button pressing. You know what I'm saying? Like, make a response. For instance, like Shenmue, when they tell you, like, the quick time events, tell you to push this button or whatchamacallit.
So they made, like a quick time event type of rhythm game where, like, you go through, like, a fight. And
exactly.
And as you fight.
Exactly.
And they go into, like, a musical. And you gotta play. That would be
fighting
awesome.
Fighting on Broadway!
They should still make a musical, like, a video game, like, in the form of a musical.
Oh, man.
Where everybody's just talking and doing their own thing, and then all of a sudden it blasts into music.
Uh-huh. Fight Club, the winner of 5 Tony Awards on Broadway, is now an award-winning video game.
Jesus. No, so I don't like rhythm games per se, but those were my first experiences in it, and I just don't like it. So,
yeah.
But they were cute.
I'm sorry?
But you said they were cute.
Yeah, they were cute. They were pretty.
Yes, they were cute.
They were
I pet them. What,
oh,
my dicks.
Next! I'm the guy who started with Guitar Hero and probably will never move off of it because I do not like the rhythm genre as a whole. I don't like it. I don't care about DDR. I can't fathom playing Parappa like Tony was saying. Besides the fact that he thinks they're cute, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't want to just sit there and press buttons. If I'm going to be doing something, it's got to be like novel, like Elite Beat Agents and or Oendon on DS. That's a different type of rhythm game. It's like there's something about it that's like that.
It
feels
has
like
you
a game.
Doing things that are pressing buttons.
Yeah, it feels like a game, not just like.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And it's like because you're tapping with the stylus and you're dragging it. It's like finger tapping. Like, and in Guitar Hero, you are playing a guitar. And Rock Band, when you're playing the drums, you are going to be playing the drums. It's not just sitting there and pressing like Britney's dance beat, like pressing.
Oh my God! Why'd you bring that up? That should have been in
there.
A bag of shit.
yeah, but I never played it, so.
That's okay. You don't have to. It's Britney.
No, the rules stipulate that you must play, and even though it is shitty. But
it's juicy.
And I know, like with DDR, you actually are dancing,
right?
But it's
right.
Like I don't know. Like my feet don't agree so well with video games, except for like Outrun. So, but I just like I tried to get into Amplitude. And, like, I immediately skipped to the hardest level, the hardest difficulty, just so I could get some, you know, some action instead of just, you know, boop, boop. And that's pretty cool because, I mean, it throws power-ups at you and it behaves like a quasi-shooter and, like, you can switch between all these different tracks and do all this crazy shit. But, like, otherwise, like, Boom Boom Rocket on Xbox Live, if any of you have ever seen that, looks like the biggest waste of time, like, on Earth. It's just arrows floating up, and you just press the Xbox controller button. Ooh. Oh, and you set off fireworks. Oh, big deal. You know, the fuck?
Wow, cool.
So, like, if it's not novel, and if it's just, like, if it's not, the conditions are, if it's not novel, and if it's DDR, I don't care about it. Let's see. Parappa, again, I said I never played on Jammer. So yeah, I mean, it's basically begins and ends with Guitar Hero with a smattering of Elite Beat. But what about you, Al? I mean, like, do you play other rhythm genre games? Like, rhythm genre games?
Yeah.
Games? Like,
I've been
Space
thinking
Channel
back.
5!
That's what I was
like
going
to
say.
That I wouldn't play.
I'm trying to think if there was anything before Space Channel 5 that I played, but
your groove,
I probably have, but I can't
no
remember.
No walls underneath the bridge. My son of this, my son of that bitch.
Yeah, see, I play a little Space Channel 5, and it's not something that I'm addicted to or that I really look forward to playing. I like play it every so often just because I want to say, like, I went through the game. I have Donkey Konga, which I don't really play much anymore because I would much rather play it with someone because there's no, like, goal-oriented gameplay in Donkey Konga. It's just hear the songs and play it as well as you can, nothing to unlock or anything like that. Donkey Konga Jungle Beat is fun, but that's not a rhythm game. That's just a platformer. Let's see, it's Guitar Hero.
What about
which,
DK Barrel Blast?
Let's not go there because it's not Bongo Blast.
It also would be shitty either way.
Probably, because it'd just be a whole bunch of noise. And more it's like. So, anyhow. There's Guitar Hero, of course. I don't really like playing DDR because I look stupid. And I'm self-conscious like that. And I don't think I would be very good at that anyway because I like look at people who are good at it. Ranging from the people who hold on to the handlebar and go... like the hard song, yeah, with their feet. Or just people who like jump around and... You know, they play the hard songs, but they don't need to hold on to the bar. And they're like, you know, they're good at moving their body that way. But I still think they look stupid.
People, don't you know? Don't you know? It's about time. Can't you hear the game is pumping while you get a piece of mind? That song's blue.
I didn't play any of the other Harmonix games, although I kind of wanted to.
Harmoniacs.
I want to play Rez, because I like that. I guess you could kind of say that E4 is a rhythm game, but it's not. It's actually just a.
It's attuned like to the game. Music.
Yeah, it's tuned to the music, but it's like rhythm. More like a puzzle game.
It's like Luminous is attuned to the music, but it's not a rhythm game.
Right, it's a puzzle game too. I don't think there's really anything else there. I mean, there's really the only stuff that's around that's a rhythm game that's worth your time is DDR and Guitar Hero.
And coming soon, Rock Band.
But other than that, really, there's just nothing. Yeah. I mean, all the other stuff like Taiko Drum Master and Beatmania and all that other stuff is really Japan-centric anyway. They never really gave us the opportunity to play Beatmania games that utilize the little five-button controller, stuff like that.
Right. I think we've wrapped this one up. Let's move on to the next one from Digimatrix. Two questions here. First, did you guys ever collect gaming magazines, and if so, how many did you guys have?
Actually, I think that's one question.
No. There's another question after this one.
Yeah, because it's weird.
Oh, weird.
There's two questions in that one line.
Bravo! Welcome to Earth! Now you can answer the question first.
Of course I did. I had Nintendo Power, I had EGM, I had a little bit of Game Pro, and a little bit of Game Informer when it was free. And that's it.
Let's see. Right now, not many left. I used to have stacks and stacks of Nintendo Power, and every EGM that I bought, I kept for a long time. I even lugged the thing to, like, when I went to visit Taiwan for the first time, I lugged it with me because that'd be the only English reading material I'd have. So I had this, like, gym bag full of EGMs. I used to collect this magazine called Game Players, which is, I don't know what publishing house did that, but they used to have, like a percentage rating system, like 97%. Like they like specifically put the percent at the end of it. Like other gaming magazines didn't really do that. It was weird. It was like I don't know what it was about it that, but like it stuck out for some reason, and then it kind of died and went nowhere. Mm-hmm. I think it was done by the PC Gamer guys, maybe. I don't know. I had a whole bunch of PC Gamer magazines before they started turning on consoles and saying like and started getting all snotty and. I think I'm going to end my subscription. But they had this thing where if you lined them up like and you looked at the spine would actually spell out PC Gamer like for like over 20 issues. Like it would spell out PC Gamer, which is pretty cool. So I kept it that.
That's pretty good.
Just so I could get the whole logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
I still have all my Maximum PCs because they... Well, that's not gaming, so never mind.
Yeah.
I think I have like two diehard game fan magazines or two or three left in my shelf.
Game fan.
The rest of them I threw away just because, like, ugh. But that was a magazine that I loved, absolutely loved back in the day. And I look back at them and I'm like, this was a pretty terrible magazine. Like, they gave Turok 2 like a 99. And they...
Wasn't Turok 2 actually good?
It was,
or was
it was
just
good.
The original one?
No, the original was better, in my opinion. 2 was good because if you bought that Waste of Time 8 meg adapter and put it in your fucking Nintendo 64, the graphics actually looked a lot better. But in general, I think first one was better because it had more weapons, and the weapons were more interesting.
Right.
Like, everybody was harping on the Cerebral Bore. You know, everybody's like, oh my god, that's the best weapon in the game, and I found it, like, awful.
But, I mean, among other things, like, if you just look at the layout, like, they had all these cutouts of sprites from the game, like, littering the pages, and at first I thought that was cool, and now I look at it, it's like, it just looks unprofessional, and it's hard to read. The text was always in different fonts from page to page. Like, some reviews would be written in Arial, and some reviews would be written in, like, some weird block letter font, and then the font, and, like, some of the pages would be in, like, a neon green, and you couldn't read the white text on it, and it's just like, what the fuck are you guys doing? What is wrong with you? And it was just like, back in the day, I was like, oh, colorful, and now it's just like, I don't miss this magazine at all anymore. But I did collect a lot. What about you, Tony?
Yeah, Game Pro. I think I'm not sure if it was called Game Players, but what you're talking about sounds really familiar. Like there was one review that they wrote, which was in purple, and the letters were blue.
That must have been Game Fan.
Yeah, it was like it was you know, like the page was like the column was purple. Okay, and it was just a small snippet of a review of a game, and the column was purple, and the letters were blue, and I was having a very hard time fucking reading this thing, one because I'm colorblind, and two because they're colorblind. So
must be.
I mean, who the fuck would put purple and blue together? It's fucking dumb, you know. So I did have quite a few magazines, Nintendo Power. I used to get as hand-me-downs way back in the days. Then they stopped getting them all together, and for good reason. I they sucked, you know, in my opinion. It was all about, like, oh, we're coming out with this game. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, like they, like Back to the Future, they were hyping that fucking shit.
Awesome.
They hyped it so much. Nice. They were like, the graphics are going to be innovative. You know, you got to look at the bottom panel. You know, the people are going to disappear in the pictures, you know. Stupid shit. And then when you finally, you know, did get the game, it sucked. Thanks, Nintendo Power. So I don't have those anymore.
Nintendo Power does. Can't sell this shitty game in other magazines. Nintendo.
And now I have Game Informer. So
here's Digi's second question. When did PC gaming lose its popularity to consoles? I think a clarification is in order here, because there are many things you can talk about when talking about PC gaming. I think it's a farce that PC gaming lost its popularity. I think that people are idiots when they start spewing that. Not this guy, not in this case. I'm just saying in general, some people are like, oh, you know, PC gaming's like dead. And No. Everybody has a PC in their house. Mm-hmm. And in some capacity, they will be gaming on it. That's a fact. I mean, there's The Sims. There is little shit like Bejeweled. Like, mom isn't going to go buy an Xbox 360 and play Bejeweled on that because she could do it on her PC. There's like there's shit like Books, not Bookstagram. That's a Mario Party minigame. It's that word game, like that you make words out of words and I don't know, like Word Worm or something like that. There's all this crazy casual shit that everybody plays. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft. So no, PC gaming never lost
customers.
PC gaming never lost popularity. I mean, I think consoles were already popular to begin with because of the fact that they weren't PCs and they were always out in the living room. They're just different spaces, but they never, like, PCs never lost any popularity to begin with because, you know what I mean? And they're still there. I think that if you're going to be talking about hardcore games like, for example, Crysis and Half-Life, when did those start gaining less attention? Probably when hardware started becoming impossible to buy, which is the same reason that PS3 is lagging in sales. You don't want to spend $600 on a video card just so you can run Crysis. Which, thankfully, you don't have to now, but people don't know this because they think they're all hung up on their consoles and they don't need a PC, which is totally false. PC snobbery! I think, if anything, it was maybe after the whole Counter-Strike thing died down? What would that be? Maybe 2000, 2001?
Mm-hmm.
2002,
sounds
maybe.
Like dot-com crash. When the dot-com boom failed, that's when PC gaming started to wane.
So in terms of like a so-called hardcore gamer playing on a PC versus a console, that shift probably happened in around 2001. I would say
probably around the PS2 era.
PS2 era, it's around there.
Yeah.
But like as in terms of overall popularity, no, status quo. It's you know.
It's still the same.
Al can answer this better than me because he's the one who plays WoW. I mean, he can attest to it more than I can. So,
well, I mean, I just thinking about PC gaming and how much attention games get. It's still the same as it was even like in 1992, back when you had not 92. That's too early. 94, 95, 96. When you had games like Command & Conquer, they first came out. You had Warcraft 2. You had Doom, that first garnered attention. All the LucasArts games were doing their thing. And then you had Quake that came out. Mm-hmm. But all at the same time, you had the consoles, which had big popularity because there were more dedicated magazines to them. There were more commercials for them.
Mario.
Things like that. They were more affordable. You had Mario. And even to this day, you know, it's like all the attention's on the Wii, which is $249, and the Xbox 360, which goes from $279 to like $400 or $500, and the PS3, which goes from $400 to $600. But now, if you want a PC that's capable of playing the best games that are out now, you need at least $800. At least $800. And that's to meet minimum requirements of a lot of games. So it's like, you know, you don't really see commercials for PC games all that much these days. And I guess it's because most of the marketing is done to the people who have the resources and who don't necessarily watch TV like that.
I also think that the marketing message for a PC is slightly diluted in a sense that because you can use a PC for other things, people still are of this mindset. Like, some people are still of this mindset that PC is a productivity tool,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and not a gaming tool.
Well, also let's take into the to the effect that they will market a console, but if you wanted to market, it's like Alienware makes computers specifically for games. But yeah. I haven't seen one Alienware commercial.
Yeah, all the ads are in PC-centric magazines. They're all preaching to the choir yeah. already.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think that they would be very successful, you know, saying, get this ultimate maximum gaming PC, $5,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, they yeah. really would yeah. have to give you an entry-level thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But they could do that, and they just probably don't want to.
Mm. It's probably a waste for them.
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, like, if
but it would probably help expand the brand.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that if anybody, Dell is probably going to at some point step up and do something like that because of the fact that Dell, first of all, owns Alienware now, and secondly that they are I don't know if they're the leading ones anymore, but they're
I would say they are.
I guess
HP is not as well regarded.
I think
Gateway
is
like
whatever happened to Compaq.
Compaq got bought out by HP.
Oh, really? Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Long time ago, and
holy
nothing
shit.
Has come out of it. But, like, I mean, Dell is, like, the most widely known, at the very least, for consumers. So, I mean, if anything, they could start pushing their marketing message about PC gaming, but I don't mm-hmm. know if they care enough to.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean.
They probably care more about selling those $600 laptops.
Right.
Or $300 laptops.
Right, right. Although they have laptops that can play games. Ahem, Dell.
XPS, $3,000.
Yeah, $3,000. Are we done with this one? Let's move on to the last one by Edu.
Yeah.
Edu Buccaneer says, first of all, he's asking you to drop Guitar Hero 3 for a second and finish Gears on co-op. He's waiting.
Still waiting.
Still waiting. Al? Are you awake?
Huh? What?
Sorry, Eddie, he was asleep. Okay, so here's his question. I heard somewhere that Microsoft plans to keep the 360 alive for as long, or even longer than Sony is keeping the PS3 in line, which I think right now would be 7 years.
I think it's the PS2.
PS2.
No, you're right, PS2, which is about 7 years. Do you guys think this will ever happen, seeing how Microsoft treated the first Xbox, leaving it to rot in hell, with us players gasping for air while drowning in the smoldering pits? Before we answer this, he also wants to make another recommendation for you guys. Prince mm-hmm. of Persia for Xbox Live Arcade. They made a remake of the original Prince of Persia, not the Sands of Time one, but the original side-scrolling one with updated graphics and tweaked. I think the gameplay is a little bit tweaked to make it not easier, but like more accessible.
Okay.
And that looked actually
that game
really
is
cool.
Fucking hard.
Yeah. But so that's his recommendation. But so on to his question. What do you guys think?
Well, they dropped Xbox because of they lost the rights to the chips, right?
Or yeah, exactly. Like that? I was going to say. They did not own mm-hmm. the designs to mm-hmm. the Xbox. So mm-hmm. when NVIDIA decided not to stop supplying them with chips, that's it. Like, they could not make any more Xboxes because mm-hmm. NVIDIA was like, we're not going to make this for you anymore. The way they did it this time is that Microsoft is contracting out all the building, but they own the architecture and the designs to the 360. So if one manufacturer says, "All right, we got to stop giving you this shit," they're like, "Okay, we'll go to someone else."
Right.
Right.
I mean, so in that respect, why wouldn't they stay with this?
Right.
Even with the with the advent of sales of Halo. Halo 3, you know, so this machine's going to be around for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I was going to say also, Xbox 360 sales are pretty damn good. And it's... Shout!
Halo, Halo, Halo. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll let you go, Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson, Homer Simpson.
Go ahead.
I think that just because sales are good and it is technically the, I guess it's got the largest market share out of all of the new consoles now, excluding the PS2. It's because you said 7 million or 4 million or 2 million, right?
In the U.S. at the very least.
In the U.S., that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Not counting Walmart. I think that it has no reason to abandon the 360 until the technology does its little jump.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, technology isn't at that particular position where the 360 is obsolete. Like, yeah, the PS3 and the 360, pretty much everybody's all like, oh, the graphics are the same, or the PS3 is a little better, or the Xbox 360 is a little better. It all depends on who knows what hardware more.
And it, like, when it comes down to just putting it on your TV, it doesn't really matter. I mean, like, they look good enough.
Right.
Also, the other thing with the Xbox is that the Xbox was Microsoft's first foray into this venture, into this medium. It was kind of touch and go. They were feeling the way around. Sony already had this humongous lead. So Microsoft was like, you know what? Not only are we losing tons of money on this, not only do we not own the hardware to this shit, but like Sony was out a year before us, and there's no way you can catch up with them. You know what? Let's cut this dying dog early, and let's start anew quickly before Sony can get their PS3 out, and let's launch a year ahead, and let's hope that the Dreamcast effect doesn't take place. And you know what? It didn't. Yeah. That year benefited them in terms of market share, in terms of the games that they've got. So the
you know why? Well, sorry to interrupt.
Jesus,
but you know
why? Got loud. Wow.
Huh? What?
Go ahead. What are you saying?
Anyway, why is because they actually, even though we say the Xbox was like shitbox, crapbox, all that other stuff, it actually garnered a pretty good track record as opposed to like Sega, which had like three flops,
right,
and nobody wanted to have any faith in the Dreamcast, which
Microsoft
was actually good.
Microsoft was able to market their machine very well to the consumer base in a way that they built up a brand name, and so their next time around, they would have some oomph to their message. They'd be like, hey, remember us? We were back, but now we're even better. We have this marketing... we have this online thing, and we're coming up before Sony. You want your pretty-looking shit? You're going to have to wait a little bit for Sony to come up, but we got the good shit. We got Oblivion. Check this out. Oh, my God! That game looks awesome! Get 360.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, I mean... They didn't just abandon the Xbox just to abandon it. Like, they had to. Like, in order to do well in this marketplace, they had to. You know, it's not like that makes it any better for the people who felt abandoned, of course. You know, people who like the Xbox. I know it doesn't make it
like
feel better.
Like those people who just bought it right before they said they would discontinue it.
Yeah. But, like, it's a necessary evil. You know, if they want to stay alive in the marketplace, they're going to have to do that. So, if the 360 does well, I don't think 7 years is out of the question.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You know what's funny? This reminds me of that Family Guy episode. This one guy said when Seth MacFarlane asked if you were to meet the creator, what would you tell him?
Mm-hmm.
The guy said to cancel it and start a new show because, you know,
this is
like. Yeah, he's like, this is, you know, this is probably like their first show, and sometimes you just have to fail in order to succeed, you know, you gotta do bad before you can do good, and this guy, I guess he was a Christian, so he said something like, he said, you have to die before you live again, he goes, oh, like Jesus, he goes, yeah, like that.
Like Jesus. Little does he know that this show is in its fifth freaking season, or maybe sixth.
Yeah, nobody knew anything about this show.
Idiots.
But that's kind of like how Microsoft was doing it. It's like, you know, you kind of have to go out there and get your feet wet, and then actually jump in the water next time.
Jump in.
And don't make on stupid add-ons like the 32X.
That'll
be the
HD DVD player.
Listen, so long as they don't do shit like that.
The thing with the HD DVD player actually is different at the very least because it's not needed to play the latest games.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
It's just there
until they come out with HD DVD games.
Yeah, exactly. you can put it. You know what's funny? Like all the things that I was reading on the forums and like the developer blogs about the PS3, of course, which I'm taking with a grain of salt, is that games like Resistance use the entire Blu-ray disc to store all their data, and there's, see, we couldn't have done this on a DVD. But that's because the disc reading is so slow that they duplicated all their assets for each level in the game.
Oh shit!
And that's why why it takes up an entire Blu-ray disc, not because it needed to, from a storage standpoint, but because the machine reads discs so slow that that the only way to speed it up and to compensate for it is to use the whole Blu-ray disc. Now,
that's crazy.
Take it with a grain of salt. This is coming from like a developer blog, from that developer blog who was all like, "Oh, I'm from Harmonix and I like the 360 better." And,
oh yeah, that guy.
So take it with a grain of salt, but I mean, also know that he probably knows more than I do and knows more than you do. So take that with a smaller grain of salt than you normally would with a grain of salt from a big guy from some blog that comments about shit and doesn't know anything about it. So
I don't have any salt.
Oh well, you can get it done.
Take a grain of sand.
I think we're making Al late for work, and that was the last question. So, any
final thoughts, closing comments, donations, concerns, questions? No,
Al, no questions.
What kind of fucking question you think I got, huh?
That's a question.
You think I just got questions, huh? Is that what it is? You think I'm here to amuse you?
That's like four questions right there. You hit the nail on the head. Let's see.
Stupid fucking cunt.
Yes,
you shithead. I'm talking to you. What did you learn your trade?
What did you learn your trade, you fucking idiot? let's see. There goes my phone. Turn that off. Let's see. New on the site.
Yeah.
Edu Buccaneer has... He gave us a bag of shit for Reservoir Dogs, but it was an entire freaking review. So I decided to post it as a review, so you can go see that. Latest game review for Xbox, Reservoir Dogs, a bag of shit special by Edu Buccaneer.
extra stinky.
Don't forget to listen to Marshy Man's podcast called... I keep on forgetting what it's called. On Point Podcast. And he... I think he was playing Super Mario Galaxy at like a GameStop, and so he ended up reviewing it.
That's what it was? I thought... That was like last week.
Yeah, but he actually posted a review on his GameSpot thing, so I'm assuming he's going to talk about it the next time.
No, he talked about it last time.
Oh, he did? Okay. I still have to listen to that episode. And then there's Game Slaves Radio. As always, I believe they're coming on episode 30 for this week. I think 29's already out there. I have yet to listen to that. But be sure to tune into them, gameslaves.net. And the Marshman one is gamespot.com/user/Marshman50. Since there are no closing comments, I will belch. I don't have any more in me. So,
Ed, I'll play some Gears on co-op, maybe, over this weekend. Maybe.
Mobile. So for Ethan.
Not here.
Ethan.
I'm in the airport now.
Tony.
Vault. Hi.
Al.
Yeah.
I have been your host, Austin Chupon Chow, and we're fucking gone. This is gone long enough. You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some neck on it. While I stand up in the background and check up. Oh, Christ, what the hell? What the hell is that?
That's the theme song of the song. That's the bass line.
I got bloody stool.
Oh, man.
Listen, my wife is giving me hell. What do you want?
She wants a bloody stool.
She just said that. I want your bloody stool.